podcast party. Descent into Avernus.
My name is Renaissance. My friends and I have been sent into the past to defend the village of Idleglen against a demon invasion. A second wave of fiends has just arrived.
On the edge of your vision, you now see what you can only surmise will be the first wave of demonic attackers. As the sun begins to peek out over the horizon, let's go ahead and roll initiative.
Everybody gets to add a +4 to their initiative.
Great. Kylan got an 18.
Corbin got a 14.
Ophelia got a 25.
Yeah.
Ophelia, you're up first.
Ophelia runs forward and she once again casts Lightning Bolt. And I'm going to cast it toward the northernmost row of villains that I see.
The good news is that all of them fail.
Whoa!
That's amazing.
Nice.
Cool. They will all take 27 lightning damage.
You evaporate the three gray-skinned demons,
yes!
Which you immediately recognize as dretches. In an instant, they are gone. The ape-like demon is certainly hurt from it, but does not go down as easily.
That's it for me.
It is Jessa Brightstar's turn. Jessa realizes that you guys all need as much help as you can get, and so she places her hand on the statue of Zariel, and she says, "Just stay here for 60 more seconds." And you watch as the statue glows and begins to pulse with a bright blue light. All four of you now have the effect of a protection from good and evil spell for the next 10 minutes.
Cool.
Nice.
I'm just going to move myself south a few feet, Jessa and Hylan and Corbin, and they're all inside my aura. And I've actually got range on this Balgora from here, so I just am going to light it up with 3 Eldritch Blasts. First shot's a 15.
A 15 will hit.
Second shot's a 15.
Yes.
Third shot's a 20.
Yeah, all three.
That is a total of 21 force damage. And that's my turn. Just going to stand my ground here.
The Balgura does not like getting sniped from afar, so it will move its entire movement, just charging, rampaging down the causeway here towards you. It has a speed of 40 feet. It's going to leap. It's a long jump. So it just does a running leap directly at the person who zapped it with a lightning bolt as part of its movement. That is you, Ophelia. It's still got its action, so it's going to make 3 attacks. One with its bite, and 2 with its ham-like fists.
Oh no, ham fists.
The bite, I'm pretty sure it is not going to hit you with a 12.
Yeah, that'll miss.
Yay.
The 2 fists miss with a 9. Wow.
Yay.
And unfortunately, a 26.
That'll hit.
12 bludgeoning damage.
Ow.
Pylon, it's now your turn.
I'm so sorry it's hitting Ophelia, but I'm so glad it's within melee range of one of my allies.
Yup.
So I'm going to manifest a blade and throw it at the Balgora. That's a 15 to hit.
15 hits.
Great. That's 11 psychic damage and 18 sneak attack for 29 on the first hit.
I should have mentioned to Ophelia, apologies, I should have mentioned to Ophelia that when the lightning bolt hit the Balgura, it didn't seem to do as much damage as you would have hoped, honestly.
Oh.
It certainly singed the hair of this creature, but it did not do the full damage.
I manifest a second blade, throw it. That's a 26 to hit.
Absolutely.
That's 9 psychic damage, and I'm going to stay where I am.
Corbin Schiff.
Corbin's going to look up. Ilmater, protect us. And he's going to cast his Twilight Sanctuary.
Yay.
Nice.
30-foot radius. Oh,
yes.
That's Ophelia.
Okay. Yes.
That's what I was worried about. That's all he's going to do.
Okay.
Ilmater, keep us safe.
The remaining dretches, it is now their turn. They just move up to go behind the Balgura. There's nothing really much more that they can do except dash. Top of the second round of combat, you now hear additional sources of insane cackling laughter as from the south, through the flames, you now see another group of demonic intruders. They just look like hulking gnolls, and they are led by an even larger gnoll behind them. All right, we're back to Ophelia.
This is an oldie but a goodie. You haven't seen it in a while, but Ophelia starts playing her violin and sparks, blue sparks, shoot out of the violin. Sparks of light, because I'm casting fairy fire. So it's going to hit both the guy in front of me and the dretch that is closest behind him.
Nice.
A DC 16 dexterity save.
The Balgura fails with a 12.
Woohoo!
And the Dretch...
An oldie but a goodie, you know?
Got a 19.
Okay, so the Dretch is not affected, but the Bulgur glows with a blue light and now grants combat advantage to hit it.
Anything else, Ophelia?
That is it for me.
You get 14 temps.
Okay, thank you.
It is now Jessa's turn. Jessa will, standing exactly where she is, cast Guiding Bolt from her holy symbol of Lathander, which looks like a sun disk around her neck.
She's casting at the Bulgura?
Yes, casting it at the Bulgura. And she rolled a 20.
Nice.
All right.
For 14 radiant damage. So yeah, this brilliant orb of light springs forth from her symbol, jets at this creature, and hits it directly in the face. The creature is absolutely stunned and grants advantage to whoever hits it next.
I say, Jessie, get behind me, get behind me. I sort of gesture for her to move.
She does.
Mm-hmm. She gets 14 temps.
Renaissance, you're up.
So question, Matt, the gnolls that I can see approaching from the southwest, you mentioned they were demonic. Do they seem like fiendish gnolls to me, or do they seem like gnolls?
They do just seem like just hulking gnolls.
Yeah, okay, got it.
Yeah.
I say, Gox, light them up.
Oh, it's time! It's time, my friend! Yes!
Gox, it becomes just effervescent with joy.
You've been waiting the whole campaign for this, Gox.
Yes. Feel the power resident within me, you vassals of the abyss!
A mote of flame expels itself from the open mouth of Gargoth.
Wow.
As part of the shield of the Hidden Lord, which just expels itself towards these creatures, and all of them will need to make dexterity saving throws as an immense fireball explodes in their midst.
They're making a save against Gargs, not against me, so they have a DC 21 dex save.
Whoa!
Holy crap!
Gargs!
All right, dexterity saving throws. There are six of them to go. Here we go. All six of them fail. And
yay!
The one behind it as well, the sort of leader of these gnolls, will also make a dexterity saving throw. Oh, he actually made it with a 21, surprisingly.
The lesser gnolls, the regular gnolls, will each take 34 points of fire damage.
Damn.
And the one that made it will take 17.
Well, you don't have to worry about the gnolls anymore, my friends, because they just screech in pain and just fall to their knees.
Woo!
I don't feel great about that. I've got ambivalent feelings about that, but I did enjoy it on some level. That's my turn.
It is now the Bulgura's turn. It's not liking you just sort of standing there zapping it to death here. So it's going to just tensely rage and go what's known as reckless. So it's going to gain advantage on all melee weapon attacks, which counteracts the protection from good and evil. It's just a straight roll here. The first attack is a 16 with its bite.
That's target.
Cutting words, that shit.
No, cutting words. Yes, cutting words.
Done.
I've regained my bardic inspiration. I forgot.
Fantastic. You cutting words it does not hit you. The second attack is a 10, which misses you, and the third attack is an 18.
That'll hit.
8 bludgeoning damage.
Okay. All right.
Go ahead and make a constitution saving throw. DC is 10.
That is a 17.
Yep, hold on to the fairy fire. Hylan, it's your turn.
Ophelia's doing great over there. I'm going to manifest a blade, as is my wont, and I am going to throw it at the Belgora.
Ophelia's tanking for us. Who knew?
I know.
Well, it's something she's wanted to do all fucking campaigns, so we might as well get it done now.
That's a 15.
15? Will
that
hit.
That hits, right? Yeah.
Yeah, it does.
Does right, she have that's... advantage?
You do have advantage because he's fairy fired.
Oh, I'm going to roll again. I might crit. Hey,
fish
who
for
knows?
That crit.
With advantage, I still hit, so with a 23, but it wasn't a natural 20, so 8 psychic damage and 19 sneak attack for a total of 27 damage on the first hit.
It's very, very badly hurt, I can tell you that.
Excellent. I will manifest my second blade, throw it, and that's a 21 to hit.
That will hit.
That's 7 more psychic damage, and I will stay where I am.
Corbin, you're up.
Corbin's going to look at that thing, and he's going to say, Ilmalta, kill this thing, and he's going to cast Guiding Bolt at first level. With advantages of 22.
There you go, that'll do.
That's 15 points of radiant damage.
You know, you guys are hitting this on the nose every single time. It only had 15 hit points left. I don't know what to do.
All right!
Nice.
Yeah, it's destroyed with that one lance of radiant energy.
Oh, awesome.
That is my turn. I'm just gonna re-roll my Twilight Sanctuary. Everybody can go up to 18 at the end of their turn.
Thanks.
It is now the Dretch's turn. The two remaining Dretches just run haphazardly into their closest target. Who is Ophelia?
Our tank. Good luck.
So they'll make two attacks each. Both of them will be disadvantage. One bite does connect with a 16 and the other connects with a 16. So unfortunately, you're going to take 8 piercing damage. It is now a new round. It's round 3. Before you go, Ophelia, you then hear a screech of demonic fury as a creature descends from the smoke-filled sky on feathery wings. This is a demonic creature which you've seen before, a demon known as a Vrock.
Does he have a book?
He does not have a book.
Yeah.
That's not some.
Well, it could have been some earlier in his life. Before we
maybe this is how he got the idea for it. Yeah. Who knows? Yeah. Don't kill him, it'll kill the space-time continuum.
With so many bootstrap paradoxes already. I met my father, which you should never do.
Okay, Ophelia, you're up.
Ophelia moves 5 feet to the south so that she is in range with both the dretches and the gnoll. And she casts Thunderclap. So that's a DC 16 constitution save for each of them.
All three of them fail?
All right, yes. I'll retake 11 thunder damage.
It doesn't kill any of them, unfortunately, but it definitely hurts them. Anything else, Ophelia?
That's it for me.
18 temps?
Yes.
Jessa Brightstar smiles, and she says, "It's working! It's working!" And she looks up at the statue. The statue is beginning to glow, not only in the head, but also now extending down into the shoulders, and even so far as the wings, you see a brilliant luminescence. She said, "Just a little bit longer!" And she will cast Sacred Flame on the Gnoll Pack Lord, who will fail with a 9. She says, "Begone, you foul creature!" And then 9 radiant damage on that guy. It is now Renaissance's turn.
I'm going to try to pick these dretches off of Ophelia with Eldritch Blasts, but I'm going to do one shot at a time because I'll pick new targets if I'm able to kill one of them off. First shot is a nat 20.
Nice.
Yes!
8 force damage on it.
8 force damage destroys it.
Cool. The next shot, I will take the next dretch down. 24.
That will hit.
5 force damage on that one.
Does not destroy it, but very, very badly hurt. I can say that for certain.
Okay. I've got one more shot, so I take it at the same one. 22.
Yep, that hits.
3 more force damage on it.
Even with just 3, it only had 2 hit points left, so it is destroyed. The dretches are destroyed. That is the end of the dretches.
And that is the end of my turn.
The Vrock will fly directly into the main group of heroes beyond Ophelia and hovers there about 20 feet off the ground. It then opens its massive beak and you hear this ear-piercing screech come forth. I would like every creature within 20 feet of the Vrock. That is everyone, except of course for the gnoll. We'll need to make a constitution saving throw.
Everyone except Ophelia will have a +4 on that.
Oh, thank God. Hyland got a 23.
Renaissance got an 18.
Uh-oh, Corbin got a 12.
Ophelia got an 11.
No.
Corbin and Ophelia, unfortunately, you two are the only ones that are affected by this then. You are stunned.
Oh,
which
no.
Which means no actions or reactions. The stunned condition is incapacitated.
Yep.
Which means that any attacks on you that hit are automatic crits.
It knocks out Corbin's Twilight Sanctuary.
Because of incapacitated. That's correct.
Oh my God.
So you are stunned until the end of the Vrock's next turn. That is the end of the Vrock's turn. Move on now to the Gnoll Pack Lord. Ophelia, your head is absolutely ringing with this screech, and so you do not see the barrage of attacks coming in from this massive gnoll, who will have advantage on these attacks, and if they hit, they are crits.
Whoa! That's
he will attack
terrible.
You twice with its glaive. With advantage, that is a 13.
That misses.
Excellent.
Oh, thank God.
Second attack. An 18.
Hits.
That is 2d10 +3 slashing damage.
Remember, you had those temps.
Yes.
That is 17 slashing damage. Hyland, you're up.
Okay, this Vrock has to go.
Let me roll. I forgot to roll the constitution save for Jessa, because she's concentrating on protection from good and evil. Does she get a bonus from you or not?
Yeah, she gets a +4 from me.
All right, she rolled a 3. That's only a 7. So protection from good and evil fails. That means that creatures of fiendish nature no longer have disadvantage on their attacks on you. All right, back to you.
Okay, I'm going to throw a blade at the gnoll. The 14 to hit?
A 14 does not hit, unfortunately.
Okay, I'm going to throw a second one. That's a 28 to hit?
Yes, that absolutely does.
That's 6 psychic and 24 sneak attack for 30 points of damage.
That kills it, right out.
Great.
Nice.
And I'm going to stay where I am.
Corbin, you're up. You're stunned, unfortunately, so there's very little that you can do at this point. You can't take actions or reactions. Your head is just absolutely ringing with this creature's screech.
All right, I'll just try to steady myself.
Unfortunately, the same can be said of Ophelia, who is also stunned. No actions, no reactions. Incapacitated, essentially, until the end of the Vrock's turn. It's Jessa's turn. Jessa is also stunned. So she's just, her hands are wrapping around her head and she's sinking down into a fetal position. As Jessa drops to her knees, she just like mumbles. She can't speak at all. She just whines and moans and her eyes lock on something immense, which shakes the ground beneath its feet as it charges into view. But as it comes into view, you see the source of this hideous cackling, which issues forth from a gigantic gnoll covered in matted, bloodstained fur and swinging a three-headed flail.
Tim, it's Yenigo.
Gore drips from his red maw.
Yep.
He's all the way at the end of the road, though.
This is not good.
So he comes into view about 100 feet from your position, where the dretches were before they were incinerated by Ophelia's lightning bolt.
Yeah, mix an alien with a hyena and give him a three-headed morning star.
Reticence, you're up.
Okay, the goddamn Vrock is still 20 feet in the air, huh?
Yes, unfortunately.
I pull Heaven's Fall out of its holster, I hit the stud, and the cap pops off the head, and I will fire a guiding bolt at the Vrock. 26.
That will hit.
So that does 19 radiant damage to the Vrock, and it is glowing and targeted, so the next shot against it will have advantage.
Great.
Just for the hell of it, I bonus action close my hand over the head of Heaven's Fall, and I say, Hylan, and I cast Branding Smite.
Yeah, the Vrock is now going to descend onto the stunned form of Corbin. It will make two attacks, one with its beak and one with its rather sharp talons. If it hits, it's a crit.
All right.
That is a 20 non-natural to hit.
Oh, yeah. Hit.
I throw up my shield in front of that one.
So that is a total of 12 damage.
That could have been much worse. And I do block 7 of that.
So that's only 5. And then the talons. But he does, in fact, miss you with a 15.
Awesome.
Yep.
Just scrapes across your armor.
Good old breastplate.
It is the end of the Rock's turn. Those of you who were stunned by its screech are no longer stunned. Hylan, you're up.
Thank goodness. Okay, I'm going to manifest a blade and throw it at the Vrock. That's a 23 to hit.
You do have advantage because of the guiding bolt, so you might as well try to crit, I guess.
That's right.
Sure.
I'm rolling again because I have advantage and I might crit and I didn't. Okay. 8 psychic and 27 sneak attack for a total of 35. The second hit is only a 13, so I miss and I'm going to stay where I am.
Corbin, you're no longer stunned.
Corbin shakes out the cobwebs. Since he got that nice short rest, he got his channel divinity back. So he's going to go,
Ilmata, protect us again. Thank you.
Once again, put up his Twilight Sanctuary.
Amazing.
And then with his bonus action, he's going to make his pillow right next to the Vrock.
Yeah.
And a little sliver of light's going to come out and a fluffy pillow's going to come out and try to whack it in the back of the head. An 18?
18 hits, yes, absolutely.
8 force damage. I'm going to roll the Twilight Sanctuary for this round. 15 for anybody who needs it. And the end of his turn, he goes, Ophelia, get back here with us.
Ophelia, coming out of this stunned condition, you probably see this towering monstrosity quite clearly as it howls with fury and runs 50 feet in your direction.
Oh my god.
And that's not enough to get to you. It's not enough to get to you.
Oh my god.
So it takes the dash action. And it is now essentially directly in front of you. It's hot, slavering froth just dropping onto your head. Ophelia, your turn.
I'm going to disengage and move back toward my friends. I will, as a bonus action, give bardic inspiration to my good friend, Bren.
Cheers.
Nice.
Jessa Brightstar looks at the oncoming storm as well as the Vrock, and she glances up at the statue. She's like, no, there's not enough time. In abject fear, she points her holy symbol at the Vrock and attempts to shoot it with a guiding bolt. Misses with an 11.
Ugh.
Before Renaissance's turn, however, Yinagu uses one of his legendary actions.
Yep.
To move up to his speed.
Mm-hmm.
50 feet, leaping through the air onto the plinth that holds the statue.
Mm-hmm.
That is the end of his legendary action. Reticence, it's your turn.
Jesus.
Kill the Vrock. We don't want two things.
Yeah. Okay. I am going to swing Heaven's Fall at the Vrock. That is a 19.
19 hits.
Yes.
9 bludgeoning and 7 radiant for a total of 16. I did have Branding Smite active on Heaven's Fall. Takes an additional 9 radiant off of Heaven's Fall. It is shedding dim light in 5 feet, and it cannot become invisible. I will dump a level 1 Divine Smite on it. That will be an additional 3d8 radiant. An additional 14 radiant, and I will swing again. 21.
Yep, that'll hit.
8 bludgeoning and 2 radiant for a total of 10. I will dump another level 1 Divine Smite on it. Another 16 radiant. 26 total off that second hit.
Jeez.
Oh yeah, it's looking rough.
Okay, why not use it if you got it? I close my hand over Heaven's Fall again, and I say Avernus, and I cast Searing Smite on Heaven's Fall. Searing Smite's now active on Heaven's Fall. That's my turn.
At the end of your turn, but before the Vrock's turn, Yinago will take the second legendary action. He will make a bite attack against any creature that he wishes within 10 feet of him.
Mm-hmm.
Which is all of you. You're all within 10 feet of him. So that is a single bite attack against each and every one of you.
Mm-hmm.
With a flurry of teeth, Yinago will bite. Let's just go around the horn. Let's start with Ophelia. That's actually a natural 1.
Nice.
Amazingly so. So that will miss.
Our tank.
Great.
Second attack against Corbin. That's a 24 to hit.
Oh yeah.
18 piercing damage. Third attack is against Renaissance. That is an 18 to hit.
I blocked that with Garks.
Awesome.
Fourth attack against Hylan, a 29 to hit.
That hits and I uncannily dodge it.
I also throw the shield up in front of Hylan.
Tell me how much damage that absorbs. I'll tell you how much damage goes through, if any.
Okay, that will block 11 points of damage.
Amazing. So you block it all. Gargs just rests inside of Yinago's mouth. He just tries to bite through it and he can't get anywhere near Hylan.
Wow.
And then, awesome. Of course, the last attack against Jessa Brightstar.
She should have temporary hit points, too.
Yes, I believe that she has 17 temporary hit points. That does, unfortunately, hit her with a 20. It does go through some of her temporary hit points, but does not get through to her real hit points.
Nice. That
could have
been way worse.
That's the end of Yinago's legendary action. That could have been a lot worse.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Okay. It's now the Vrock's turn, however. It's just going to bite the weakest foe around him, who is Ophelia. That is a 10 with its beak.
Yeah.
And a 21 with its talons.
That'll hit. I want to spend
possible
a luck
chance.
Point. So that
spend a
not...
luck point to have it roll again?
Okay. Yeah.
It's still a 21.
Damn. Guess I should have used cutting words. All right, so it hit.
Okay, that's 18 slashing damage.
Ooh.
Okay.
All right, that's the end of the Vrock's turn. Hylan, you're up.
I want to kill this Vrock.
Yeah, get rid of this Vrock.
I am going to manifest a blade and throw it at the Vrock. 21 to hit.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, it's a good one. 10 psychic damage, 21 sneak attack for 31 damage.
Yeah, that Vrock is toast.
Nice.
Yes!
Nice.
Okay, and then I have another blade, and I throw my little blade at this giant thing.
Amazing.
With my left hand, and I'm right-handed, so it's like not great. But I'm doing it, and I crit!
Oh my god!
What? Okay.
Good.
Oh, D&D magic.
There were
that
only
would have been so nice.
That
I know,
fantastic.
If only, right?
But instead, so that's 11 giant points of psychic damage. Can I just say that if that was a crit on a sneak attack, it would have been 62 points of damage. Yeah. Oh, well.
Anything else,
Hylan? That's my turn. No, I'll stay there. Thank you.
All right, Corbin, you're up.
All right. Inspired by that, Corbin is going to use his bonus action to move his pillow over and take a swat at Yinago with his spiritual weapon. A 16?
No, unfortunately, 16 will definitely not hit Yinago. Oh.
It's a pillow.
And then at fourth...
he just like looks at it.
Yeah.
He's just like...
It's a pillow.
At fourth level, I'm going to cast Aid.
Yes.
And I'm going to give myself, Hylan, and Ophelia 15 additional over their max.
Nice.
Thank
All
you.
Right.
That's my turn.
Yinago looks at the statue of Zariel and just sort of like hocks up a fiendish loogie and spits in its face. You just see acidic spit covering the face of Zariel. Jessa Brightstar screams in rage, stands her ground in front of this towering foe, as Yinagu pulls back his massive flail to strike. He's going to strike three creatures. If an attack hits, Yinagu can use that attack to create an additional effect of his choice or at random.
Oh my god.
All right, so the first attack is against the creature that did him the most damage. That's Hylan, unfortunately. He's got a reach of 15 feet.
Good what? God.
First flail attack is a 21.
That hits. I dodge it uncannily.
Please make a DC 17 wisdom saving throw.
You will have a plus 4.
Oh, thank God. That's a 22.
All right. You feel like as this flail hits you, it just clocks you, your head spins, but you're able to right yourself. You still do take 6 bludgeoning damage after the uncanny dodge.
You only take 3, and I take 3.
Okay.
Second flail attack. He's going to go for Renaissance, actually, this time.
I maintain concentration on my smite, by the way.
Awesome.
That is a 28 to hit you, Renaissance.
Oh.
Okay, I'll do cutting words. That's a 1, friends.
Oh, well.
Unfortunately, that's not going to work.
It was worth a shot.
So you will take 18 bludgeoning damage. Please make a wisdom saving throw.
Oh, God.
I did 25 on the wisdom save.
Woo!
You're good. You're good. It also tries to clean your clock, but you maintain.
Okay. Oh, thanks.
Go ahead and make your concentration check.
That is a 23, so I do maintain that.
Yes!
And seeing as these attacks haven't really slowed you down, it just roars and tries to throw its entire weight behind this last flail attack on you, Renaissance. 27 to hit.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. No.
19 bludgeoning damage. This time, please make a constitution saving throw.
That is a 20.
Yeah, you make it. This time you felt like sick to your stomach. But yeah, you're good. That is the end of Yinagu's turn. Ophelia, it's your turn now.
I'm going to cast Relithim's Psychic Lance on Yinagu. That's going to be an intel save, DC 16.
It got a 16 on the dot.
Mm.
Okay, so it still takes half damage. It's going to be half 25.
All right, so that's 12.
That's it for me.
Okay, at the end of your turn, but before Jessa Brightstar's turn, Yinagu will use one of his legendary actions, which now all three of them have recharged because it's now a new turn.
Great.
Which is an ability called Swat Away. He will make a flail attack on you, Ophelia. Let's see if it hits or not.
You have 15 temps, Ophelia. Yeah.
That is 31 to hit.
Oh, boy.
Please make a strength saving throw.
Oh, good. My best stat.
You do have a plus 4.
Okay. So that's an 18?
That is not enough. So not only do you take 18 bludgeoning damage, you are pushed to 15 feet by the strength of this attack in a straight line away from Yinagu.
No, it's not the worst thing in the world.
Yeah, I know.
Absolutely not. In a way, 100% correct. You fall prone as well.
Okay.
That is the end of its legendary action. Jessa is absolutely at her wit's end. She's like, come to our aid, Zariel! And she will, as a bonus action, cast Spiritual Weapon. Unlike yours, Corbin, it does not look like a pillow. It looks like a glowing orb of sunlight and uses it to attack Yinagu, which she crits on.
Yay!
Nice.
Doing 12 force damage.
Nice.
That was her bonus action. As an action, she will then cast Sacred Flame. And Yinagu will need to make a dexterity saving throw, which she does, unfortunately, getting a 13 on the dexterity save. Renaissance, it's now your turn.
Ren is actually absorbing a lot of punishment, so I'm going to lay hands on myself for 30 hit points.
Yes, good.
And I think that is really it.
Yeah, that was good.
I'm like out of bullets, kind of.
Yeah, you have to stay alive.
Yeah, that's my turn.
You get 15 temps, and by the way, Jessa also gets 15 temps.
All right, if that is the end of your turn, it is now Hylan's turn.
Great. Ching, ching. I manifest a blade. I throw it. That's a 17 to hit.
And 17, unfortunately, does not hit. It just glances off Yinagu's armor.
I'm going to use homing strikes, and I'm going to ask for assistance. My eyes will glow blue, and I will try to fix it in the air in a millisecond. That's a 21 to hit.
21 does hit.
Yes. Thank you, grandfather. 9 psychic, 15 sneak attack for 24 damage. And then I'm going to throw the second blade. And that misses with a 13.
Yes, unfortunately.
And I'll stay where I am.
Pilot, can you move on my left? Move on my left.
Okay, I'm going to do that. And that's my turn.
So you dodge over to the left. Before, however, Corbin takes his turn, Yinagu will take another legendary action. This one you've seen before. It's where he just opens his maw and attacks everything within 10 feet of him. Corbin, Jessa, Hylan, and Reticence. That's a 30 on you, Corbin.
Oh yeah, that hit.
14 piercing damage. That's a 20 on Jessa, that also hits her, doing 19 piercing, taking off most of the, actually all of the temps. Third attack is on Hylan, 34 to hit.
That will hit.
That is 10 piercing damage.
I block it completely.
You block all of it. And then the last attack on you, Renaissance, 30 to hit.
Yeah.
Ugh, can't.
11 piercing damage. So like you dodge to block the attack with Gargs, and then you leave your arm exposed and it just chomps down directly onto it.
Yeah, that's all right. Corbin's temps helped me there.
That's the end of its legendary action. Corbin, you're up.
All right, it's gonna swat at him with the pillow again. 11. All right, Corbin's gonna look at this thing and go back to where you came from. And he's going to cast Banishment at fourth level.
Yes, worth a shot. Worth a shot.
Here we go. DC 17 Charisma saving throw. He's one ugly motherfucker.
Listen, charisma isn't all about looks.
His personality isn't great either. Let's be fair.
He's great at parties. He got a 21 on his charisma saving throw.
It was worth a shot.
He's going to roll his temps. And everybody gets 13.
Thank you.
All right, Yunaku is done fucking around here. You guys have actually managed to hurt him a little bit. And so his eyes glow with rage and three flail attacks on Renaissance. First attack, 35 to hit.
Sure.
Ugh.
16 bludgeoning damage. Please make a wisdom saving throw.
19.
You make it.
Awesome.
Second attack with the flail, a 20 to hit.
No, I blocked that with guards.
Yes.
And the third attack, 21 to hit.
That is target.
No, it isn't, because when I see that it's going to land, metallic dragon wings, ephemeral wings shoot out and wrap around him and give him a +4 to his armor class as my reaction.
Nice.
Yeah, that is enough. That'll protect me.
All right. Done. Ophelia, you're up. You've been sort of swatted away here, as
yes,
we want to do.
Swatted, but I'm not going down that easy. Ophelia moves back up a little bit closer, not all the way, and I'm going to shoot a lightning bolt at Yunaku. So that's going to be a DC 16 dex save.
That is a 26.
It'll do half damage. It does 15 damage. Or, sorry, it does half of that.
Does 7.
Not my best lightning bolt. That's it for me.
It is now Jess's turn. She will cast Spirit Guardians herself. Instead of flapping butterfly hands, little orbs, little sun orbs come out from her in a 15-foot radius, and she uses her concentration to hold on to it. Any creature that starts its turn in the Spirit Guardians will take 14 radiant damage. Renaissance, it's your turn.
I move up and stand next to Corbin. I'm going to harness divine power to burn my channel divinity to give myself a level 2 spell slot back.
Nice.
And I start swinging with Heaven's Fall. First attack is a 12.
Yeah, Yunaku just bats away your mace.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Second attack is a 24.
That will hit.
Oh, great.
7 bludgeoning and 10 radiant for 17 total damage. And I will, of course, dump that level 2 divine smite that I just gave myself back.
While you're calculating that, let me just retract apologies. Ophelia, when you zapped Yunaku with that lightning bolt, you noticed that it, just like it was with the Bulgura, it didn't do as much damage as you had hoped.
Less than 7.
Yep, did okay. 3.
I did get 27 more radiant off of that.
Excellent.
Off of that level 2 divine smite. So that is a total of 44 on the round. Oh, sorry. Did have smite active. I'm betting he's not going to be super impressed by it because it's fire damage, but he is going to take some. He takes 8 fire damage.
Just like the lightning, it doesn't seem to do very much. It does a little bit, but not a whole lot.
Okay, so it did something. For what it's worth, he is on fire.
Oh, great. He's even more terrifying.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah.
13 temps.
Thank you.
At the end of your turn, Reticence, but before Hylan, Yunaku will take another one of his legendary actions, and he will choose to swat you away this time, Reticence, making a flail attack on you. That is 26 to hit.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything I can do about that, so he hits me.
20 bludgeoning damage. Please make a strength saving throw.
17.
Not enough. You fly back 15 feet and land prone as well, right next to Ophelia. All right, Hylan, it's your turn.
I'm going to stay where I am, and I'm going to throw blades at Yunaku. 21 to hit.
21 hits.
Great. 10 psychic, 14 sneak attack for 24 damage on the first hit, and second hit, 22.
22 hits too.
Great. That's 8 psychic damage, and that's it. I'm going to stay, and I'm going to hope Renaissance comes back.
Corbin, your turn.
He'll glance back at Ren. Is Ren, like, really messed up, or does he...
I'm prone, but I'm actually not that hurt.
Okay, he's all right. And bonus action, he's going to try to hit him with the friggin' pillow again. 25?
Yes, yeah. Indeed does hit him.
Right on the bottom of the jaw. I just crack him across it.
Nice.
13 points of force damage.
Yeah.
And then Corbin is going to cast Spirit Guardians.
Yes.
At 5th level.
Yeah.
Before Yunaga goes, he does have one legendary action left to spend. So technically, he doesn't get hit by the Spirit Guardians quite yet. So in that infinitesimal time between the Spirit Guardians doing damage, he's going to swat you away this time, Corbin.
Wait, he's going to swat me?
31 to hit.
Oh, oh yeah, that's going to hit.
15 bludgeoning. Please make a strength saving throw.
12.
Yeah, you fly back as well. 15 feet. The Spirit Guardians is a 15-foot radius, correct?
Right, so if I'm 15 feet away, he's not going to get it.
Unfortunately.
But I do need to make a concentration check.
DC is 10.
Ugh.
Wait, I have advantage. I'm Warcaster. So my first roll is a 7,
right.
And the second one's a 9, so I lose my 5th level spell.
Oh.
Every time I cast a high level spell, I lose it.
Oh, shit, didn't see that coming.
For like 2 seconds, like the butterfly hands come out and then just immediately dissipate as this thing just swats you across the field.
It's all right. We can do it. We don't need that.
She still has hers up.
Yes. Yeah.
That's correct. So he starts his turn, and he'll need to make a wisdom saving throw. 14 radiant damage. So he's going to make a wisdom saving throw against this. Ah, yeah, he makes it. So we only take 7. It's Yunaga's turn. His legendary action's reset. He's really only got 2 foes in range. You, Hylan, and Jessa Brightstar.
Mm-hmm.
He sees that Jessa is glowing with this illumination that is definitely hurting him. So he will go after her with 3 attacks. All 3 hit. She had temps, though, and they just are run through with the first attack, 20 bludgeoning damage. The second attack is 35 to hit, 11 damage to her. And the third attack is a 31 to hit, another 11 damage. That's a total of 22. But Jessa has to roll 3 concentration checks to see if those Spirit Guardians stay up or not. She failed on the first one. She got a 6. So the Spirit Guardians disappear as well. Jessa is looking absolutely destroyed. Her eyes are full of despair. Her hair is matted with blood. She just weakly croaks. Help! Ophelia, it's your turn.
I'm gonna try Rolithim Psychic Lance again. So that's a DC 16 intel save.
You got a 16 on the save.
Ugh.
Well, then he'll take half damage. It's 13 damage.
Jessa Brightstar, she just screams to the heavens,
"Save us, Lathander! Save us!"
And as if on cue, the sun begins to peek up from the horizon. The glowing rays of the sun cut through the smoke and fog, and perhaps just for a second, Yunaga turns towards the rising sun and growls as if he knows something is not going his way, and then looks back down at Jessa. Jessa has very few hit points left, but she's gonna fight to the end. Shit, what the hell could she do?
Run?
I mean, she does not run. This is her home. This is who she is. She will die on this hill.
Heal yourself.
Yes, she definitely could heal herself. As an action, she casts Cure Wounds. Yes, she will heal herself. She wants to survive. She needs to survive. She will cast it using her last 3rd level slot.
That's good.
At the end of her turn, but before Renaissance's turn, Yunaga cackles with glee and looks down at this pitiful mortal and swings his flail at her to swat her away from the statue.
I'm not close enough.
That's a 32 to hit. She takes 13 bludgeoning damage, and she will need to make a strength saving throw, which she fails and is swatted 15 feet away and is prone on the ground. Renaissance, it's your turn.
Okay, I'm prone. I stand up, and with my 15 feet of remaining movement, I can just charge back up on him, which I do. And yeah, well, you know what they say, Matt? Fuck.
Sure. They do say that.
Yes, they do.
Yeah. All right. I swing Heaven's Fall. 13.
No, unfortunately not.
And a 21.
That will hit.
Thank goodness.
That is going to be 5 magical bludgeoning and 6 radiant for a total of 11 damage. Why not dump a level 1 divine smite on him?
Mm-hmm.
17 more radiant.
Huh? Not bad.
What else can I even do? Yeah, that's it for now.
Hylan, it's your turn.
Real quick, Jessa and Ren both get 15 temporary hit points.
Nice.
Oh, dear Bahamut. Please give me a crit. I'm going to move up next to Renaissance. I make a psychic blade and I stab him with it. And that's only a 14, so I'm going to use homing strikes to expend an energy die and raise that, hopefully. And I don't with a 15. And so I give up on that and I take the Dragon's Wrath dagger in my offhand and I stab him with that. And I missed again with a 15, but I am going to again use homing strikes and try to hit it because I'm not fucking around. That only makes it an 18, so I assume that also misses. I'm trying so hard to hit it, and I'm missing.
Its hide is too thick.
Yep, that's all right. I'm just going to stay where I am.
Corbin, before your turn, however, Yunagu gets to make a legendary action. He will make a bite against each creature within 10 feet of him. That is Renaissance, and that is Tylan.
Yep.
That's a 22 to hit Renaissance.
Nope, Gift of the Metallic Dragon. Shroud him with ephemeral wings, doesn't hit him.
And a 32 on Yuhaim.
That hits.
I will throw my shield.
Okay, let's see how much of it absorbs.
It blocks 14 points of damage.
Yeah, so she only takes one.
The power of love. It's the power of love, everyone.
She takes nothing. I take 1 point of damage.
Amazing.
You guys both protected each other. That was so adorable.
It's adorable.
Yeah. It's adorable. All right, Corbin, your turn.
Corbin gets up and he farts. Stands up. He steps to his right 5 feet.
Yunagu, take this.
And suddenly a brilliant beam of light flashes from his hand, goes 60 feet straight out and hits him, and he casts Sunbeam at 6th level.
Ooh!
Even Jessa, who's like on the ground, she just like looks at you with like intense reverence as this beam of light issues forth from your hands. Lathander!
And he winks at her. So I need a DC 17 Constitution saving throw.
Fortunately, he makes it with a 31.
So he takes, well, it would have been 28, but he takes 14. Going to step back 5 feet, and he's going to say,
Jessa, just don't get in my way. I'm going to do it again.
He'll say it low, so hopefully Yunagu can't hear that. And then he's going to try with his bonus action to hit it with his pillow. I would love for the pillow to kill Yunagu. An 18?
No, unfortunately, it does not.
And I'm going to roll my temporary hit point. So we're at 14 if anybody needs them this round.
Great.
At the end of your turn.
This is really dumb, Matt, but at the start of Yunagu's turn, he should have made a saving throw because he was on fire.
So he rolled a 17 for that con save retroactively.
He's not on fire anymore.
Oh, well. He takes like a giant inhale, like looks over at his arm, which is on fire, and just and blows it out. It's Yunagu's turn now, though. He's going to make 3 attacks on you again, Renaissance.
Oh, fuck.
36, 36. That's a double
crit.
That's 24 bludgeoning damage on the first strike.
Ugh.
Okay, feels like it could have been much worse than that.
And in fact, it may be, because it does deal 4d12 bludgeoning damage additional with that strange effect from the hit, because it was a crit. Okay. That's an additional 25 damage.
Oh my god.
So 24 and 25, that's 49 damage.
Yep.
Second attack, 34 to hit.
Yep.
Mm.
14 bludgeoning damage. And the third attack is an 18, so it actually misses you.
Misses me.
Great.
Okay, I'm still up. Not looking great, but I'm still there.
All right, that's the end of Yunagu's turn. He just sort of growls down at the two of you. Ophelia, you're up.
Would you rather I heal you, Renaissance?
I wouldn't say no to it.
Heal him!
I run over to Renaissance, and I cast a Cure Wounds.
Awesome.
I cure him for 8 healing.
Thank you.
Doing what I can.
Anything else, Ophelia?
You know what? No, I give him Bardic Inspiration.
She is.
Can you back off?
No, she's in range now. He's gonna...
If she backs off more than 15 feet.
That is it for me.
14 temps.
Legendary action comes back. It's going to do this savage attack, a bite attack against any creature within 10 feet.
Dariel's taking her sweet time.
3 bite attacks, one on each of you. First attack, 35 on you, Ophelia.
35 will hit.
15 piercing. Renaissance misses you with an 18.
Great.
Hylan, 27 to hit.
That'll hit. I uncanny dodge it.
16 piercing damage. You only take 8. All right, Jessa Brightstar, she's losing it. She screams. She's like, what is taking you so long? Her eyes are streaming with tears, and she will use Guiding Bolt again.
you ran.
She throws the guiding bolt and hits with a 22, 16 radiant damage.
Cool.
This thing hits Yunago in the chest, and Yunago actually takes a step back. He sort of starts to heave. You see the blood is coming out of his maw. He's frothing. His eyes have turned a pure shade of red, looking at all of you. Jessa lets loose the guiding bolt, and as she does so, as this guiding bolt hits her target, the sun streaks from the cloudy sky as if some entity has pulled apart the clouds. And the sun shines on the statue of Zario, and there is a trumpeting sound. Yinagu screams in fury as he looks into the sky, captured in this pure golden light issuing from the heavens. The demon lord shuts his frothy maw and narrows his eyes, gazing up towards the sky as this beam of radiant light pierces the haze. There is a sound like a thunderclap as a powerful winged being streaks down from above, followed shortly by a gold-furred mammoth with feathered wings.
Whoa!
The angel streaks 300 feet in a matter of seconds and withdraws a beautiful crystalline sword, which she uses to slash across Yinagu's chest. And in doing so, utters words in Celestial, some kind of a spell. As the sword connects with Yinagu's chest, a portal opens behind the demon lord as the mammoth rams its head into Yinagu.
Yes.
There is a screech of pain and frustration as the demon lord is sent tumbling through the portal, which quickly closes behind him.
Wow.
I fall to my knees exhausted.
Out of combat.
Hi, everybody. The show will be back shortly for the second half. Have you had a chance to check out our other ongoing actual play series, To Slay a Dragon, presented by Cast Party and EN Publishing? You can catch the first three episodes right here in this feed. We'd love to know what you think. A quick programming note. We had originally intended to release our traditional year-end episode of Power Word Talk with the entire cast of Podcast Party Descent into Avernus on December 25th. However, as you may be able to tell, Descent into Avernus is now heading towards its climax. So we've decided to hold off on that retrospective episode of Power Word Talk until sometime in early 2024, when we can look back on our entire Baldur's Gate Descent into Avernus campaign. However, we will still release an episode of Power Word Talk on December 25th, as Tal will be joined by Matt, Luke, and Deborah to review their predictions for the TTRPG space in 2024 and make new predictions for the year ahead. We have a live event coming up for those of you in the New York City metro area this winter. Join Cast Party for an evening of dragon slaying, dungeon delving, treasure hunting adventure at The Good Witch at 134 Southside Avenue, Hastings-on-Hudson, New York, on January 6th, 2024. Our professional dungeon masters will lead your party through a tabletop adventure. No previous D&D experience necessary. Admission includes a 3-hour Dungeons & Dragons experience with a professional Dungeon Master, possibly yours truly, or Tal Aviazer or Matt Gordon, a delicious drink and snack courtesy of The Good Witch, plus a few surprises. The Good Witch is located just a short train ride from New York City in the historic Hastings-on-Hudson Station on the Metro North Hudson Line. Planning to attend with a group? We'll make sure you're seated with friends and family. New player or attending alone? No problem. We'll make sure you're at a table to suit your experience level. This event is for ages 18 and up. Tickets are on sale now at cast-party.com. There are only 7 tickets left, so don't wait to grab yours. Cast Party's holiday one-shot deal is back. Right now, you can book a 3-to-4-hour one-shot online adventure for 3-to-7 players with one of our amazing professional dungeon masters for a total of $60. That's about $8.50 a person. I can't think of a better holiday gift than friendship, fun, killing monsters, finding treasure, and saving the day. If there is somebody in your life who would enjoy an adventure, you can book it now by emailing us at info@cast-party.com before January 1st. Mention Holiday One Shot in the subject line. You can also buy this gift for yourself. Of course, we won't judge. Earlier this year, you helped make possible our upcoming Secrets of the Blind Palace actual play series by making Secrets of the Blind Palace go platinum on Dungeon Masters Guild. Well, now another of Tal's adventures, Attack on Coppercoil, is just 20 sails away from going gold. That's like platinum, but less impressive. But still great, so we have another proposal for you. If Attack on Coppercoil goes gold on DM's Guild before we begin recording Secrets of the Blind Palace next year, then that miniseries will become a little longer and we will include an actual play series of both Secrets of the Blind Palace and Attack on Coppercoil. It's a 4 to 7 hour Dungeons & Dragons 5e adventure for characters level 1 to 4. Purchases of both the PDF version or the Roll20/PDF version bundle will count towards making the Coppercoil cast happen. Follow the link in the show notes to purchase or grab it at dmsguild.com. Do you ever feel like you have a great visual picture in your head, but you need a little help putting it into words? Well, with a subscription to Describe, you can access thousands of descriptions of monsters, spells, locations, and more, as well as maps, music, and sound effects to enhance your games, only at Describe.com. That's DScribe.com. Would you like 10% off that subscription? Follow the link in the show notes and use the discount code CASTPARTY, all one word, all caps, to save 10% on your first subscription. Check us out at cast-party.com and follow us on Facebook at CastPartyD&D, on Twitter at CastParty2, on Instagram at Cast_Party, on TikTok at Cast_Party, or on Threads at Cast_Party. As always, we're offering monthly free adventures with our Dungeon Masters. These free games fill up quickly, so if you'd like to grab a spot, you should join our email list or our Discord server. Links to both can be found at cast-party.com. You can watch episodes of Podcast Party on YouTube, complete with artwork, battle maps, character portraits, and even a little bit of animation. Check the show notes for the link or visit cast-party.com. If you enjoy Podcast Party, please follow the show, rate us, and leave us a review. We'd love to hear from you. Message us on social media or email us at info@cast-party.com. Follow us on Facebook at CastPartyD&D, on Twitter at CastParty2, on Instagram at Cast_Party, or on TikTok at Cast_Party, or on Threads at Cast_Party. Thanks very much for listening, and now back to our adventure in Idle Glen.
Oh,
we lived.
Man,
we went
we
fucking
lived.
10 rounds with Yanogu.
Oh my god.
Good job, guys.
Wow.
We helped each other. We did it.
The townspeople run out and immediately prostrate themselves in front of the archangel and her winged steed, I guess you could call her.
Jess is okay. She lived.
She did live.
Yes, she did.
Wow.
I look around. Everyone is alive.
As far as you're aware, yeah. You defended the town. And you are able to now see as well that there are scores of mounted soldiers that are riding through the smoke and mist into the courtyard. You see that they are dressed in the raiment of soldiers of El Terrell.
Better late than never, I guess.
You see that there are sort of demons and gnolls running everywhere. They just cut them down on their horses as they run through the town.
I drop on one knee in front of Zariel.
Same.
I say, yeah. Lady Zariel, you mean to follow them into Avernus?
She looks down at you and she says, after the damage done here today, Yanogu, he slaughtered those I swore to protect. Of course, I can stop him and others like him. I may have to give up all that I stand for. And she, although blindfolded, somehow knows the direction of the heavens and raises her head towards it. But yes, I intend to enter Avernus and end this conflict once and for all.
Don't let them consume you.
In fighting fiends, you will become a weapon used against those you swore to protect.
She looks down at you and then looks over at Lulu. Lulu's eyes, her crystal blue eyes, scan Zariel up and down. Lulu's worried. She looks at Zariel. She hears Renaissance's words. And in that same sort of very sweet intonation that you've heard before in her Hollyphant form, but in a sort of much more rich and deep voice, she says, Zariel, do you really wish to do this? And Zariel turns to Lulu and says, I can stem the tide of chaos and save many lives from the demonic terrors of the abyss. Lulu, were you in my place? Would you risk it all to save the lives of others? And Lulu's trunk droops a bit and her eyes fall to the ground. And then Zariel turns towards you all and says, I pose the same question to you. Were you in my place? Would you risk it all to save the lives of the ones that you love?
That's an unfair question.
Asmodeus sees you coming, Zariel. He knows your heart. He knows your courage. He knows your obsession. He will use those things to ensnare you. You must not listen to him. To answer your question, I would give my life, of course, but I would not give my soul.
What do the others of you say?
Corbin's gonna look at Lulu. Lulu, you look amazing, by the way. Wow.
I don't know who you are, but thank you.
It's all right. Maybe one day we'll meet again. But don't let her do this. Can you stop her from doing this? There must be another way. There has to be another way.
Zariel interrupts you and steps in front of you as you speak to Lulu and says, you address me. I asked you the question.
I answer to Ilmater, not you.
I see. And then she turns away from you.
Lady Zariel, I think in my own way I understand why you want to do this. But the truth is, no one can stem the tide of chaos. To have wisdom is to understand that chaos is unfortunately part of the fabric of life. This life and all of the many worlds. All you can do is try to help. Try to help those that need you. There's no way to stop a basic law of reality without causing destruction.
The blood war has no beginning and no end, Lady Zariel. In fact, it mustn't end. It would unravel the worlds if it did. You cannot win it. No one can.
You can help so many more people by staying true to yourself. Please don't do this.
Let the fiends kill each other. Don't be one of them.
She turns to you, Ophelia, and says, you, child, you have words?
I do. I know what it is to give my life for those I love. And I would do it. I would do it every time. I can make no other answer but that I understand. I know why you want to go. These people speak the truth, but what is in your heart is in your heart, and I don't know that I can say anything to change it.
After receiving your answers, she nods and she says, I thank you for your honesty. Lathander bless and keep you. I have other plans. And she brings forth the sword of Zariel. It glows with a heavenly light. And she calls out through the town, Hellriders! It is time to take the fight to the enemy! You look around and you see scores of Hellriders lined up behind her. And as you search their faces, you see a woman in her 30s with a fresh, deep cut on her cheek. And you recognize her as Yael, and she has a quite disheartened look on her face. Next to her, you recognize the mortal form of Olanthius and other Hellriders that you have come across in your travels in Avernus, as well as one somewhat aggressive-looking Hellrider who you can only surmise is Haruma. And Zariel's wings fly open.
I say quickly to Lulu, Lulu, you're going to forget a lot of things. You won't remember meeting us here. You'll forget a lot of things, Lulu. But if the worst happens, if it all goes wrong, you should head for Traxigor's Tower and wait for us there. Just try to remember Traxigor's Tower.
I don't know. That's a funny name.
Just say Traxigor.
Traxigor.
Come, Lulu. And then she flies off into the distance. Lulu unfurls her massive wings, blasts a trumpet of sparkles in the air, and shouts, Traxigor! And then flies off. The charge of the Hellriders following her. Those of you who answered that you would risk it all, and as far as my understanding of your responses, it sounded to me like Ophelia said that she would, and that Renaissance said that he would.
You said
that you would risk your life, but not your soul.
Yes. Depends what you mean by all.
If in your mind and in your hearts you feel that you would, at the very least, risk your life.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Then you get a charm of vitality. Charms are special gifts from very powerful beings. In this case, the Charm of Vitality allows you to give yourself the benefit of a potion of vitality as an action. Once you do so, the charm vanishes from you, removes any exhaustion you are suffering, cures any disease or poison affecting you, and maximizes the effect of any hit die you spend to regain hit points within the next 24 hours.
Nice.
Corbin, I'm going to go ahead and say that based on your response, in the words of Willy Wonka, you get nothing. Good day, sir.
I don't want it anyway from her.
Totally fair. The scene begins to fade from view as the four of you stand watching the beginnings of the charge of the Hell Riders as they fade into the distance. It is then that the scene resolves. The four of you now stand back in the Bleeding Citadel, standing beside the sword of Zariel and Yael herself. And she says, "Welcome back." The sword of Zariel is atop the dais, glowing with heavenly power. Lulu is there as well. Lulu turns to you and is the first to speak. She says, "Hello, France." And her voice is calm. It's not tinged with panic or guilt. "I remember everything now. Idleglen was where it all began, where the first seeds of darkness were sown. We followed Zariel to Avernus, but the evil there proved to be too much for us. Asmodeus himself appeared and promised Zariel infernal legions to end the blood war, something that she had desired all of her existence. But in order for him to do that, she had to give the Lord of the Nine Hells her fealty. She accepted and became an archdevil, but not before Yael and I took her sword, hoping it could redeem Zariel someday. I used up all my magic, and Yael gave her life to construct this place to protect the sword." Yael steps in and says, "My soul is bound here by my oath to preserve the goodness within Zariel. You all have faced many trials to claim the sword of Zariel. I'm sorry to say that you face one more." As the inscription on the dais says, and she turns to it and it glows with golden light, "The hero who becomes one with this blade will be changed forever. The blade chooses the bearer as much as the bearer chooses the blade. If you are worthy and have a pure heart, untainted by fear or hatred, which of you will choose to claim the sword?"
Ooh. Wow.
Welcome to level 13.
Yes!
Yay!
Thanks for listening. This episode featured the Dungeon Master stylings of Matt Gordon, with Tal Aviazor as Renaissance, Carolyn Fox as Highland, Rachel Tamron as Ophelia, and me, Andy Kinistra, as Painbearer Corbin Shiv. This episode was edited by Tal Aviazor and Carolyn Fox. Our original theme music is by Lauren Anker and Anthony DiMasso. Remember, if you enjoy Podcast Party, please follow the show, rate us, and leave us a review. Thank you very much for listening. We'll be back in 2 weeks with Power Word Talk Prediction Show, in 4 weeks with episode 4 of To Slay a Dragon, and in 6 weeks with episode 74 of Descent into Avernus.
Ah, goddamn water. I love you, but do you have to make so much noise?
Oh, excuse me.
All right.
Thank you for your life-giving properties. For real. Please shut the fuck up.
Shut up, water.